Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Look, while we are while we're doing a set change real quick, that's technical speak for we're getting out of the way. While we're doing that, I just want to say real quickly, so this is my first time preaching as an actual pastor here at North County. I did not ask for all of that. I was just simply saying that, you know, it is a privilege and an honor to be here, and just wanted you all to know I don't take it lightly. I don't. I really do not take it lightly. The fact that you all prayed and sought and asked questions and really put a tremendous amount of effort into it, because you knew that I was coming aboard, becoming part of a team that was going to help guide you on your spiritual journey, and you do not take that lightly, and I appreciate you all's efforts. And the fact that I'm here is just shows the connection that we all have in the Father. So I'm excited and ready to serve and all of that. I just wanted to say that I really wanted to, real quick, wanted to give a shout out to my wife. Excited for her. But amen. Yeah, you can do that. Now her, you can applaud. You can applaud her. I don't take applause, but I'm thankful for her, because if you are in leadership at any level or whatever, you know that your spouse plays a tremendous role in the undergirding of whatever you're doing. And so I'm thankful for her and her strength and her courage and all of those different things. And so I just wanted to say that real quickly. And then as a last little bit of observation, I know I'm not the one doing announcements, but as a last observation, so 11 of your of our family members went down to Pine Lawn, to Miracle Temple Church of God in Christ, to serve that community. And we were able to give food away to 200 families. Yes, yes. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I wanted to let you all know, those 11 individuals, along with myself, I made 12, they served well. They represented NC3 well. Be proud. Everybody spoke glowingly of them and their contribution. It was exciting. And I was already excited, right? So I was already here, right? The final tally came in. I'm here. I got my office set up the whole nine. I was even more proud to be a part of the NC3 family after watching those 11 people work and work the way they did. I was excited. I was truly excited. So thank you for letting me be a part of this. Thank you all for going down. There will be plenty more opportunities to come, but I wanted to say that out loud because there were all those 11 people, and three of them were children. Three of them were children, so I'm excited about that. And I just wanted to say that real quick just before I got started. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this day, first and foremost, and we thank you for being our faithful Father. We thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to serve you, to worship you, to praise you with our life, with the words that we speak, our actions, our deeds. But we're also thankful, God, that we get a chance to come and link up together in corporate worship, that we get to sing alongside one another and clap with each other and connect and fellowship with each other. We're thankful, God, for this opportunity. And we just pray, God, that on this morning, that we further our worship as we go into the Word, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your self-disclosure as the living Word, that you will help us to see ourselves in this, and you will help us to know where we are along our own disciples' journey. Help us, God, as we endeavor to draw closer to you, as we endeavor, God, to exact your will and your agenda in the earth. Bless us, God, as we continue on as your ambassadors. And continue to bless this service, God, and we, God, will bless you forevermore. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. So if you got the blurb from the email, you saw in there we were talking about some common things that happen, right? Been looking for your glasses, and they were sitting on top of your head, right? Or for some of us, you were actually looking through your glasses, right, and missed them. Or you've been like me, you had your keys in your hand or your cell phone in your hand or whatever. And what kind of prompted my thinking in that is I came to, I don't know if it was a meeting a few weeks ago or whatnot, and somebody lost their keys. Their keys were right there with them, but they just could not figure out where that was or whatever. And that happened twice. And so I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to necessarily call that person out, but I will say that person's initials are Teresa Ford. So So, but it was, but we've all been there. Yesterday, I had my cell phone, and like many of you, I play my music from my cell phone, right? And so I turned my music on, I flipped to the song I wanted, turned it down, I put it down, and something came to me concerning today's message, and I said, ooh, let me find my Bible real quick. And I said, where's my phone? Now, true story, I picked my phone up and moved it so that I could move the covers, because I was looking for my phone. And I was like, how ironic is that, that I put that in the blurb and then all of a sudden it happened to me? I was like, okay, God, you got a sense of humor. And so, but how many of us have been like that, right? We, not even just in the physical sense, but even in the spiritual sense. We've been looking for God to do some things. We've been waiting for God to do some things. We've been praying, asking, and then, but he's been right there the whole time, doing things, moving on our behalf, and we missed it because we were spiritually blind. So today's message is, do you see what I see? Now, I'm going to make some references in here today pertaining to not being able to see, whether it be blindness or whatnot. And I refer to spiritual blindness as us having cataracts or spiritual cataracts on our mind, on our thinking, right? So let's go ahead. We're going to read. This is Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse number 31 and read through verse 43. I hear some pages turning. That's a good thing. I like that. Usually people are scrolling and it's silent. I heard some pages turning. Luke chapter 18, verse 31, and we'll read all the way through. It says, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. And they did not know what he was talking about. Verse 35 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And he heard a crowd going by and he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him, shh, be quiet. He shouted all the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. All right, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. In this passage, we are looking at two opposite ends of a spectrum. We're looking at spiritual blindness, and we're looking at physical blindness. And in a moment here, hopefully, prayerfully, if I don't bungle this up, we will all see how Jesus uses one portion of healing physically to show us that he can heal us of our spiritual blindness as well. In the very beginning, Jesus says that the prophets have already told you about my death. And he was telling them that I've got to go down to Jerusalem, or he says, go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer all these things. Now, this is not the first time Jesus has said this. And this is not the first time that it has ever been talked about or foretold. And Jesus at this point in time in Luke is the journey portion of Luke. We're talking about him now making his way down to Jerusalem. And this is the third time that Jesus has said this to these 12 men that, hey, I'm going to give my life. These people are going to, the Gentiles are going to they're going to arrest me, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to spit on me and hit me, and I did that backwards. They're not going to kill them first. They're going to hit me and spit on me, and then they're going to kill me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. This is not the first time he said this. But to prove the point, Jesus goes back and he says, it's been spoken of the prophets of old. If you go back through and you'll read that Daniel and Isaiah and Zechariah and Jeremiah and Samuel and Micah, they've all spoken of the coming of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. Even in the Psalms, you will see several places where it is foretold about Jesus' death. And so here it is, he is talking about, hey, you know, can I put it in my own words? Hey, we've been having a good time, right? We've been healing the sick and raising the dead. We've been feeding thousands of people. We've been doing a good thing. But let's not forget, we are on our way to Jerusalem. There is another job I have to do. Matter of fact, my main job is coming up, and I've got to go and fulfill this, and this is what's going to happen. And he's saying this again, and he's spelling it out because he doesn't want them to lose sight of the fact that, yeah, in the end we win, but let's keep in mind that there's going to be some mess that goes on. It's going to get bloody. It's going to get gory. It's going to get ugly for a second. So Jesus reveals this to them. But in that, the Bible says, but this meaning was hidden from them. Now, real quick housekeeping. When you see the term on there, Son of Man, and you follow, go down and it says Son of David, I'm going to come back at the end and we'll give you the definition of that from a biblical standpoint, or forgive you the scriptures that will define that. But I want to just kind of move through the storyline, as it were. And when Jesus got through saying all of this, the scriptures, Luke tells us that this meaning was hidden from them. So what was hidden from them was this. See, the disciples were kind of like we are. We have an agenda. We have something that we want to see God do. We've been praying for some things, and we've been asking God for some things. And if you read Mark Batterson's book, you've been circling your prayers, right? You've been doing all these different things because you got certain things that you want to see God do. And the disciples are no different. The disciples were waiting for the Messiah to come, and they felt like when he comes, we're going to take charge. We're going to march into Rome, and we're going to overthrow the government, and we're going to be the top dog. We're going to be the leaders. We're going to be the ones leading the way. We got an agenda, and now the Messiah is here. We're going to do this thing. We're ready. We got our war clothes on. We got our war cry on. We are ready to do this. Let's go, Jesus. And Jesus continuously is helping them to understand, that's not my agenda. That's what you want. But that's not my agenda. See, I'm not coming down here to overthrow the existing kingdom. Hope y'all catch the meaning in this. I'm not coming down here to overthrow the existing kingdom. I'm coming down here to establish my kingdom in the earth. See, you can have capitalism or socialism. You can have Republican or Democrat. You can have whatever you want. You can have that. I'm coming down here to establish something totally different. Jesus was sharing this with them by saying that I've got to suffer these things. And this is not something I'm making up. The prophets of old have spoken of this time and time and time again. Much like that, many of us, that meaning for what God has, that agenda for our life, is hidden to us. Not because we don't necessarily believe, but it's because we have a different thing we've been praying for. I'll use me. If you're like me, you got a list of things that you would love to see God do, right? For your family, for your job or your career, for your church, for your physical sense. You got a list of things that you would love to see God do. And God is saying, yeah, but I got an agenda too. But sometimes we can't see his agenda because we're so busy looking at our agenda. We're so busy. Can I say this? And I know I'm going to lose some friends when I say this, and that's okay. Hopefully I'll gain you back. Some people, And if this pertains to you, I'm not making light of your situation. Please know and understand that. But sometimes we are praying that God remove the cancer. And God is saying, I am going to heal you, but I need you to carry that a little longer because my agenda, I'm trying to showcase my love and my grace and my mercy through you carrying the cancer. I'm trying to show the rest of the world that you can still have peace and still have cancer. I'm trying to show the rest of the world that you can still be full of joy and have to take your, and have to take your, and prick your finger to get your, you know, for diabetes. Thank you. See, I ain't there yet. Mark will tell you if I keep eating like I do though. But God is showing us that you can still have joy and prick your finger to check your blood sugar every morning. You don't have to be down because you got this situation. God is saying, I want to use your situation to exact my glory. But we're so busy. God, if you please just take this away from me. If you take it away from me, I'll praise you. If you take it away from me, I'll bless you. If you take it away from me, I'll serve you. And what he's asking you to do is praise me while you have it. Worship me while you have it. Serve me while I have it. And I'll take it away. Sometimes our agenda becomes the spiritual cataract that keeps us from seeing what God is trying to do, even in our own lives. So let's move on. The sermon is going a lot faster than I thought. So now we get down to Bartimaeus. There's some clarity here. So if you read in the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, it speaks of two blind men. In Mark, it speaks of one. In Luke, we're speaking of one person. And so there's a lot of different theologians that go back and forth as to what that means. These are not two different situations. They're the same situation. Some people said there were two blind men, and Bartimaeus was the spokesperson for the two. Some were saying that Jesus was leaving out of one Jericho, going into another Jericho, because one Jericho had fallen down. It was in ruins. And the other Jericho was the one that Herod had built, and he was reaving out of one region going into another. However you want to go through it, however you do your study, there was a blind man, and his name was Bartimaeus. And when he heard this parade coming by, he asked, what is all this noise? Now, I've never been without my sight, but I've been told that when you do not have one of your senses, your other senses become heightened, right? And so here it is, he's hearing this noise, he's hearing this sound, and he asked the question, what is all this about? And somebody said, well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And immediately, in his thinking, he went, oh, wait a minute, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by? See, it was at that point that he understood that this wasn't Jesus, Aunt Gertrude's son. This wasn't Uncle Larry's nephew on his wife's side. This wasn't the Jesus I went to elementary school with. This was Jesus of Nazareth. And when he said that, he knew then that if this is the Jesus that came out of Nazareth, then this must be the son of David, which means he's the one that was giving the blind back their sight. He's the one that's been healing the sick. He's the one that's been raising the dead. He's the one that, watch this, he fed 5,000 men. That's besides the women and children. So it's possible that he fed 15,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, two fish and five loaves of bread may not feed one of some, well, let me not go there. Let me leave that alone. I might get in trouble if I keep with that. But he fed maybe somewhere between 5 to 15,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. He's walking down the street. Immediately what he said was, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, like some church folks, they'd be like, shh. So here's the thing, the person that told him to be quiet has never been blind. The person that told him to be quiet never had diabetes. The person that told him to be quiet never had arthritis. See, I'm a person, I understand that. I have arthritis in my shoulder and my foot, so I get that. And I'm speaking for Bartimaeus, when Jesus was passing by and he shouted out and they told him to be quiet, it was like, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. See, I've been blind my whole life. And now you're telling me the man who can change my life is walking by and you want me to be quiet? So what did he do? He shouted out even the more. That means that's an old term for he turned up the volume, right? So he turned it up and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he said that, Jesus stopped because he used the name son of David, which told Jesus he knows who I am. His faith rose up. You see, faith is the word of God in action. It is not your belief. Your belief is your belief. Faith is the word of God in action. And when he said, Jesus, thou son of David, he took the word of God as it was spoken by the prophet, the son of David. He took that and he threw it out there and Jesus responded. Now, here's the question. And I have to credit this to my wife because I had never heard this song before. Candace was listening to this song in the kitchen one day. And I was sitting off to the side, I was doing something. And I kept listening, I'm going, ooh, I like that. And so then I said, well, let me incorporate that. And so my question to you is, if Jesus was passing by right now, what would you do? Because there are many of us in this room that got some kind of issue, right? If you like me, you got something going on, whether it's in your family, in your body, in your mind, in your career, in your finances, in your, you name it, the list goes on and on. You got something in your marriage. There is something going on that you would need Jesus to fix. The question would be, if he walked in this room, what would you do? What would you say if he walked into this room? How would you shout if he walked into this room? How would you praise if he walked into this room? If knowing what you got going on in your own life, what would you do if your name was Bartimaeus and you had this situation that was looming over your head? What would you do? Would you be quiet and just sit there and say, oh, he's fine, he's here, hopefully he'll come around? I didn't see the ticket thing outside. I need to go out and get a number. Maybe he'll get around to me. See, and this was not in my notes, but the woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus, didn't wait for him to turn around, didn't have an interview, all that kind of stuff. She just went up and just touched the hem of his garment. She knew if I could just get a piece of him, if I could just get the hind part, if I could just touch the outer limits of his clothes, that's all I need. My faith is of such that all, if he's that anointed, then the anointing is dripping in his clothes. If he can speak to Cornelius's servant from a distance, then maybe I can just touch the outer limits of his clothes and I'll be healed. That's how we've got to be so desperate for Jesus that when we come around, we say, Jesus, thou son of David. And here's the thing. When you are in church, we need a headset that's for an active person. When you're in church and you shout out to God, if the next person looks over at you funny, move. If you walk in and you say, hallelujah, and that person looks at you like, what are you doing? That's not the section for you. This place was hollowed out for desperate people seeking God, that need him so that they're willing to come in here and shout hallelujah. Because look, you can't shout hallelujah at Ameren. Debbie, help me out. Donna, you can't shout hallelujah at Peabody, can you? You can. I don't know how much longer you're going to be employed. You can't run up and down Schnook's aisles talking about, thank you, Jesus. You can, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of folk that are going to look at you crazy. But in here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, you can shout, Jesus, thou son of David. And nobody will look at you strange. They'll just know they need him bad. And you know that because last week I needed him bad. And last Wednesday I needed him bad. Have you ever been driving down the street and you just say, oh God, I thank you. All right. Let me move on because I'll get in trouble. Looking at the time. Jesus says, bring him to me. And he comes up. And Bartimaeus, Jesus looks at him and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, when the lepers came up to Jesus, he didn't say a word. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. But with Bartimaeus, he said, what is it that you want me to do? So here's the thing. Bartimaeus did not go back into the history, the annals of history, and say, well, see, Jesus, I was born like this, and I've had to beg on this side of the road for a long time, and you know, because people got tired of me begging over here, I had to move to a new location, and that location was not prime real estate because people weren't really coming through with the money like they needed to. And I've been jingling this cup for a while, but nobody's really kind of pouring into me like that. And so, you know, I've had a rough time. He didn't ask him all that. He said, what can I do for you? And Bartimaeus felt like, I got a long history behind what's going on, but let me get to the point. I'm blind. I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. See how quick that exchange was? See, let me show you something. Now, Bartimaeus was not a member of a church for Jesus to do that. Y'all will catch this later. All right. Bartimaeus did not pay tithes so that Jesus would heal him. Time out. Tithe is important. I did not, I'm putting this on camera. I did not tell you stop paying your tithe. All right, time in. He did not have to pay tithe in order to get this blessing. He just simply had to know who Jesus was, acknowledge him, and then when Jesus came, he just simply said, this is what I need from you. And Jesus did it right then and right there. Immediately he received his sight. So here's the beautiful part about this whole thing. When it was all said and done, the Bible says, well, let me tell you what the Bible didn't say. The Bible didn't say that Bartimaeus then decided, I can see now, I'm going to go see the world. So let me put it in terms we understand. Because to my knowledge, there's only one person in this room that's physically blind. So let me put it in a term that everybody else can understand. When your finances are upside down, don't act like I'm the only one. When your finances are upside down, and you have not been able to travel, have not been able to go, have not been able to do, and all of a sudden now you get a $1,200 check in the mail, or you get some extra money, and you're all of a sudden now your bills are paid, you got a little extra, and I'm going to go do something. I'm going to splurge. I'm going to go get the new iPhone. I'm traveling the world. I'm doing something. And what we do is when we get a blessing, we decide, I'm going to go do all the stuff I've never done before. Bartimaeus got his sight and decided, I'm going to follow the one who gave me my sight. I'm going to jump behind him. I'm going to praise God, his Father, but I'm going to follow him all the way to the end. And the Bible says he got behind Jesus and followed him and praising God. Because ultimately, this is all about God. So, quick secret, just in case you didn't know. Some of y'all might know, a couple of you, two or three, may have already known this. This is not, this life, this everything, this Bible, this church, this worship, all of this, just real quick, if your feelings are hurt, I apologize. This is not about you. This is about God and his glory. If you don't believe me, go back to the very first line in the Bible, right? Genesis 1 and 1. Go back to the very first line before the comma, in the beginning, God, comma. Let you know the rest of this Bible is going to be about him. When it was all said and done, Bartimaeus praised God while he was following Jesus. So how many of us have some kind of blindness in our life? Some kind of spiritual blindness, something that's keeping us from following Him, something that's impeding us from seeing the, God's agenda come to fruition in our life. How many of us are really suffering and struggling with our own spirituality or our own journey? How many of us are struggling like that? And what Jesus was showing us is that we do have that blindness. But if He can heal the blind man physically, He can heal your spiritual blindness as well. You just simply have to know who He is. And you just have to cry out to Him, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I know the people, you know, I'm not expecting her to shout out like that. She's quiet like that. But let a situation get deep enough. Let the situation get hard enough. Let it get down to the point where you can't go no further. And you will see some folks shout out to God. Jesus wants to heal our blindness. He wants to reveal to us who He is and what He can do. And if we will adhere to His agenda and follow after Him, He can and He will heal. Somebody's marriage might seem like it's gone too far. I don't know if we can redeem this. There is nothing too hard for God. Somebody feel like, well, my journey on my job has come to an end. There is nothing too hard for God. The doctors have said they've done all they've done, they can do. They've done all the tests. They've done all these things. They don't know really what's going to happen. They said, I don't have any answers. There is nothing too hard for God. He wants to heal all of those things. You just have to be willing to get past your blindness and call out to Him. So again, the question becomes, what would you do if He walked into this room? How would you praise? How would you shout? What would you do if He walked into this room? Now, Teresa, I'm going to warn you right now. If y'all start singing that song, I might just hop on stage. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm just giving you a fair warning. You're like, what is he doing up there? I told y'all in advance. You sing that song, I might just drop on the stage with you. So let's wrap this up and be done. There are two notes in there, or two places for notes in there. One says Son of Man, one says Son of David. And I want to give you the scriptures for those. I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I want you to have this like homework. How about that? It's homework. I want you to go home and I want you to read these scriptures, and they're going to give you a definition of what these terms are. Son of Man, just off the top, this is a term that Jesus referred to Himself. No one else called Him Son of Man. He referred to Himself as the Son of Man. Primary definition for this comes out of Daniel, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And then you can also read it in Psalm 80, verses 14 and 19. And then in Matthew 3, verse 17, and Hebrews 4 and 15, you will get an understanding of what this means. This is one half of the equation. This short points out or shows the humanity of Jesus. This shows that Jesus was 100% man. If we scroll down now to the other, well, I say scroll because it's on my pad. If you go down to Son of David, now this refers to Him as God. This refers to all the times that that everybody else refers to Him as the Son of David. And it is prophesied that He would come through the lineage of David. Samuel even told David that the Messiah, that this person that's coming from God, would come through your bloodline. Those verses are given to you in Genesis chapter 15, verse 4, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, and Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And this shows how Jesus was both 100% God and 100% man. 100% God, Son of David, 100% man, Son of Man. And in those verses, you get a clear indication of how we see Jesus and how we approach Him. Now, Hebrews tells us this, that He understands what we go through from a physical standpoint. He's tempted on all points, right? He understands what we have to deal with. So there's nothing that you are going through that Jesus does not understand. He's been tempted like you've been tempted. He's been tested like you were tested. Now, he didn't sin like we sinned. Right? Am I the only one? All right. You know, because some people feel like they was born saved. I'm not that one. But he understands what we go through as humans. And so he's here to fix that. But we've got to be willing to let him have his way in our life. Amen? Amen. And with that, my prayer is that he heals all of us and our spiritual blindness. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message that comes to illuminate your word within our heart and mind. It comes to help us to see or showcase where we might have areas of blindness, where there might be cataracts, spiritual cataracts within our life. But we're thankful that you showed us that if you can heal the blind man, that you can heal our spiritual blindness. And God, while we have a myriad of things set before your throne, while we have a laundry list of prayer requests that lay before your throne, our ultimate prayer is that your will for our life be done, that your agenda for our life come to the forefront. And we know and believe that if your agenda for our life is taken care of, that you will take care of our needs, that you will see to that laundry list of prayer requests, that you will then begin to pencil in our agenda as well. Thank you, God, for helping us today to know and understand and possibly even see who you are and what you represent in our life. And help us to be bold in our faith, God, to reach out to you when we know we need you in hopes that you will answer us, even as you answered Bartimaeus. Thankful, God, that you are not discarding us because of our blindness. Just like you didn't discard those 12 disciples that traveled with you, you didn't push them to the side, and we're thankful, God, you didn't push us to the side either when we fell short. But we are thankful, God, that you are a God of a second chance, the God of a 10th chance, or a God of the 235th chance. We are thankful that in that 235th chance that you have the ability to open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see you. So God, we are thankful for that on this morning. Bless us, God, as we leave this place, but never ever from your presence. Allow your angels to encamp themselves round us, round about us, protecting us from the things we can see and the things we are unaware of. And bless us, God, to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And we will be mindful to give you, like Bartimaeus, the praise, the honor, and the glory, both right now and forevermore. And everybody who can see said amen. 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 Amen.